Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Biblically speaking, a fool is someone who, regardless of intellect or education, says in their heart that there is no God. Today's passage focuses on the folly of foolish behavior and also the pitfalls of laziness. Fools repeatedly return to their mistakes, like a dog returning to its vomit, and laziness leads to absurd excuses to avoid work and inaction. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 26 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins today's study.
He poured out his love, his forgiveness of sin.
Proverbs 26, if you've been with us weekly, the first 12 verses deal with the fool. There are 42 references in the Proverbs alone to the fool, and Proverbs has a great deal to say about the fool. The fool, by biblical definitions, does not refer to a person who is mentally deficient. God is not talking to the person who is simple-minded or who is some kind of a mental aberration. The fool that God is talking about is a man or a woman who could be very, very brilliant. They may have as many degrees with all of the letters in the alphabet behind them, but biblically they could be a fool. Psalm 14 verse 1 and Psalm 53 verse 1 tells us the fool is a person who says in their heart that there is no God. And so as we go through these first 12 verses, there's going to be many references to the fool. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Snow in summer and rain at harvest time are out of place. They're actually a cause of great inconvenience. And likewise, to give honor to a fool is inappropriate. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. As a flying bird does not come to rest in the air, so a curse will not rest upon an innocent person. It's interesting that in ancient times, many believed that words of blessing or cursing had some kind of mystical powers to accomplish their intentions. And this proverb dismantles that superstition, picturing the curse as a fluttering bird that really will never land. A curse from the lips of an enemy flies about harmlessly and does nobody any hurt, except to who? The person who uttered it. Reminds me of the word that Balaam spoke to King Balak. Remember, he hired him to curse Israel. And what was the response of the Lord? Numbers chapter 23, verse 8. How shall I curse whom the Lord has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? There are some Christians who teach that a Christian can suffer from generational curses, and I don't believe that to be true. It's true that there may indeed be consequences to sins from our parents or our ancestors, but the Bible tells us that Jesus broke the power of curses on the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a blessed people we are tonight. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have received the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. He's living in me. He's here in this place. And tonight, by His Spirit, we will hear from God, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They don't make any sense to him or her. But now that we've been born again, we pray that God would enlighten our hearts tonight to receive instruction, correction, reproof, direction according to His will for us. Look at verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. And this proverb simply observes that fools are like horses and donkeys. They simply cannot be controlled by reason. In other words, correction is as suitable and necessary for a fool as a whip for a horse or a bridle for an ass. You know, God wants us to pay attention to Him, doesn't He? He wants us to hear with a heart to obey. And if you and I, as God's children, do not listen to correction, God's love for us will indeed chasten us. He won't whip us, but He will chasten us. And isn't it a good thing when God chastens you, when He chastens me? It's a wonderful thing to be born again, to have the Spirit of God in us, because you simply cannot get away with the nonsense that you used to get away with before you were saved. Not that you would want to. He does convict us, and we thank God for that. So there's no need for a whip tonight. There's no need for a bridle tonight. God corrects us because He loves us and because we are His children. Now, verses 4 and 5 seem like a contradiction, but they're not. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. These proverbs are not contradictory. In fact, they're compatible if we recognize that each teaches really a separate truth. If you imitate the style of a fool, you are one yourself. But if you respond to him as you would to a wise man, he will think himself to be a fool. In other words, do not give to the foolish man a foolish answer, or you will be like him. Give a foolish person a wise answer, or he will seem wise to himself. And how many of you know that we need to have discernment, don't we? I mean, every one of us talk, don't we? Every one of us will be confronted by people who do not believe in God. And they will ask us some of the most crazy questions. Can God lift, make a rock that He can't lift? You know that that's just escaping the real question. And we just need God's wisdom. We need God's discernment. And one of the things that every one of us should bear in mind is that when we are engaged in a conversation with someone, we can and should be listening, but we should be praying that God would give us wisdom. Sometimes the wisest thing to do is not say anything. The Bible does, Jesus did say, don't cast your pearls before swine. But there are times that swine need to hear some truth. And so it's a matter of what? It's a matter of being in walking in the Spirit, listening to the Lord, being guided by Him. Because we're going to see at the end of this chapter tonight how the tongue can be used in very, very bad ways. Verse 6, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. We saw last week in chapter 25, verse 13, that the faithful messenger brings refreshment to their masters. And we looked at how when you and I are faithful to the Lord, when we are obedient to Him, when we are sharing the truth of the gospel, and we are speaking the truth in love, that so refreshes Jesus. That so blesses Him. Here we see that foolish messengers are a cause of damage to the one who sent them. To send a message or to give a task to a fool is like cutting off your feet. It leaves you immobile, and it's like drinking poison. Verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. It's been said that a fool is verbally disabled and wisdom impaired. And that is true. Just as a lame man can get nowhere on his legs, a fool can do nothing with a proverb because they are not interested in or desirous to put into practice the things that the proverb teaches. Verse 8, as he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. Binding a stone in a sling is an action that renders the weapon ineffectual, and it actually endangers the warrior himself. And likewise, granting social honor or status to a fool endangers one's reputation. Another way of putting it is that promoting a fool will only end up hurting you. It's like giving ammunition to an enemy. I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but on my walk in the morning, you know, we're in a political year, and somebody put a poster in their yard. It says, "Elect a clown and expect a circus." I don't know why I'm thinking about he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. But boy, you know, we really need to be, seriously, we need to be praying. We need really to be praying. God knows that. Verse 9, as a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. A proverb in the mouth of fools is like a thorn in the hand of a drunkard, because he doesn't feel anything. There's no impact. When a fool uses a proverb, he's usually insensitive to the fact that it may apply to himself. The Bible says that a proverb in a fool's mouth is dangerous because the fool will misapply the wisdom of the proverb. How tragic it is when something that is meant for good has no impact at all upon a person. And here, a thorn going up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 10, I'm not even going to comment on this. I'm reading from the King James. It says, the great God that formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. I'm not going to ask you what translation you're reading, but if it's anything but the King James, you go, huh? Because it says something quite different, right? Right? Now I know which ones of you are not reading the King James. No, but it says something quite different. Let me just say this. There's an interesting conversation to be had about people who read the King James and people who read other translations, and I'm not here to force that necessarily. I'm not a KJV-only guy, but this much I will tell you. The reason why there's a difference in the KJV in this verse and other translations is because of the text where it came from. That's the issue. Having the scriptures that are taken from the most accurate text, which I believe is the one from which the King James is translated. All right, we'll move on to verse 11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Sound familiar? Well, if you've been reading Peter lately, Peter quotes this proverb in chapter 2, verse 22, and he likens a man who has known the truth and turned from it to a dog who returns to eat its own vomit. The Bible tells you and I, identifies you and I as believers, as sheep. We are not dogs, we are sheep. Now, sheep can get a little muddied from time to time, can't we? Sheep can get spotted with the things of the world. Remember in Luke 15, when the prodigal son was in the pig pen, he knew that he was in the wrong place, and he went home where he belonged. When you and I, as believers, sin, there's conviction, there's brokenness, there's godly sorrow, there's repentance, but there is no such thing as a sheep turning into a dog. You're either a sheep or you are a dog. You know, you can take a pig and you can dress it up and you could put a bow tie on it and you could clean it up and you could have it as a pet in your house. But as soon as you let it go, it's going to find the nearest mud hole and get all dirty. You and I are new creatures in Christ. We still have a flesh nature, don't we? We still have a nature that is bent on sinning, and we must war against that every day. We must mortify that every day. But because we are sheep and not dogs, because we are sheep and not goats, we may stray from time to time. But when you do stray, God will convict you. God will bring you back home. Aren't you so glad? Look at how graphic the Word of God is. The old life, the old way of living for a believer is vomit. And you don't see it like that until what? You're born again. That's a beautiful thing. That's one of the beautiful things about it. I love how graphic the Bible is. It doesn't pull any punches. Vomit, the old life, the ways of the world, the sin nature. It's like there's a phrase in the King James that talks about sin as being the superfluity of naughtiness. Did you ever read that? People say, what is that? That is really, does that sound nasty? Well, it's meant to sound nasty because it's bad. Thank God for His redeeming love. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen? Look at verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. In other words, the only person who is more hopeless than a fool is the person who thinks he's wise when he's not. You know what that person is called? An egomaniac. Charles Spurgeon said, the fool may learn, but the conceited man will not. There is more hope of a sinful publican than of a self-righteous Pharisee. An extreme example of this is seen in the worldly wisdom that regards God's wisdom as folly. Just read 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. The world looks at what we believe as being foolishness and folly. God chooses the foolish things of the world, what, to confound the wise. Romans 12, 16 tells you and I as believers that we are to be of the same mind one toward another, minding not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Look at verse 13, switching gears from the fool to the sluggard. The slothful man says there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. It's amazing how a lazy person will come up with the most incredible excuses for why he or she cannot work, or why he or she cannot do this or that. You know, the irony of it all is that the lazy person doesn't see himself or herself as a lazy person. Verse 14, as the door turns upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. Just moves from side to side, from one side to the other side. Just like a door on its hinges, so a lazy person turns restlessly on their beds. The slothful hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it again to his mouth. The lazy person is so lazy, they won't even feed themselves when the food is put right in front of them. It's been said that a lazy person is good at doing nothing. But ironically, they consider themselves great geniuses or authorities on everything. A lazy person's life is so frustrating because their desires and needs go unmet because their hands refuse to labor. In Proverbs 15, verse 19, we were told that a lazy person's life is like a hedge of thorns. You know, the Bible tells you and I that we are not to be slothful in our work. We are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Bible says that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's a lion in the street. That's a pretty lame excuse, isn't it? Right? And people make up all kinds of excuses for why they can't do this or why they can't do that. And I think of the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, where he says, in talking about servanthood, Matthew 25, now we'll just talk about the one who is lazy. Matthew 25, 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that you are a hard and austere man. You reap where you have not sown, and you gather where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Your talent. I hid your talent. That's what the Bible says. When God gives you a talent, he intends that you use it, not hide it. Now, the enemy plays all kinds of games with believers. Well, I'm not educated enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. I'm not smart enough. I feel funny. People come up with all kinds of excuses. Remember, you and I as believers have been given talents for which we will be held accountable for how we use them. That's just what the Bible teaches. And so here's a person that was given a talent, and he says, I hid it in the earth. And then he says, here, Lord. And the Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. Wow. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And you know the end of the story. And I fear that there are many, many churches, local churches, that are being robbed of valuable talents that people have in the congregation that they never really see. And I just want to encourage you. If you are a born-again believer, you have giftings from God. You have talents from God. And it's not just that they're only to be used in a church setting, but you are to use that talent to glorify him. I believe that a believer should be a person displaying their talents at work, in public, in every area of media possible to bring glory to God. And so, don't let the enemy fill your mind with these excuses. Now, that seems like an excuse. A lion is in the street. But that's how far some people will go to avoid using the talents that God has given to them. Use the talent that God has given to you. Be a wise steward of that talent. Exercise that talent. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak what? The oracles of God. Use the ability that God gives you. Why? To give glory to the Creator that's redeemed you. It's so easy to make excuses, isn't it? Isn't it? And we in our culture are very, very good at this. I received a picture years ago from one of the churches in one of the northern states of India. And there was a Sunday morning service. It had just been a monsoon rain. And they're sitting there smiling with rain up to their knees. You know what we do? We stay home because of a forecast. God help us. God help us to be faithful in using what he's given to us. You are a treasure. God's given you treasures to glorify him first and foremost. And so the lazy one. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy one. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.